Should the Old Testament be considered on a par with the New Testament? Hello, welcome to The Good Word, program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on discipleship. My name is John Dibdahl, and with me here are Dan Solis, who actually is the author of lessons on our topic for this quarter, and Paul Dibdahl, professor of theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, thank you for joining me. Since this is the first of the year and the first of a new quarter, I'd like to talk just a little bit about a general introduction to the various topics that we're going to be dealing with during this quarter. Our lessons for the next 13 weeks are entitled Discipleship. The lesson author defines discipleship as the process by which we become followers of Jesus and as such better soul winners. He expands on that definition later to say that this includes a passionate desire to follow Jesus and as a supernatural result, a passionate desire to lead others to Christ as well. This definition should be remembered as we study these lessons. For each of the 13 lessons, we'll follow a format of four steps. First, there will be a short introduction. Second, we'll look at some words that need defining to understand the lesson. Third, we'll consider several Bible texts that are the core of each lesson. And fourth, we will look to find personal application of the lesson topic. If you want to follow along and study, you can find a study guide on our website, and you can use a Bible dictionary concordance or a study Bible to find the meaning of key words. We would like to emphasize the Bible. Text should be carefully read and reread before we attempt to apply the lessons to our own lives. Note that in all the lessons, you are encouraged to study and seek your own answers. Our first specific topic is disciples and Scripture. This lesson emphasizes the fact that Jesus was deeply committed to the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, the books from Genesis to Malachi. He studied, he read, and he quoted from it regularly and clearly viewed it as authoritative. This should certainly cause us to wonder why some Christians disregard or treat as unimportant this section of Scripture. Now, Pastor Solis, you have done a lot of thinking about this because these lessons are something that you have worked on and written here. I'm curious, why did you choose this topic of discipleship and the Scripture to begin with?
Well, actually, the topic is chosen for you.
Ah, it was assigned to you.
It's assigned. The development of the topic is, of course, up to the author. In, you know, cooperation with your editorial leadership. The essential format that I set up was, first, I want to study the tools that Jesus employed in making disciples.
Oh.
And so we begin the series by studying about Scripture. We study about his marvelous use of metaphor, the parables, the narratives, the illustrations. And then we study about prayer, in particular, intercessory prayer. And following that, we'll be looking at how Jesus approached specific groups of people. How did he reach out to children? How did he reach out to those who were socially outcast, okay, to the ill, to the rich, to the powerful, politically powerful, and so forth? So we'll be looking at how he reached out to specific groups. But first of all, what did he use and reaching out to different groups?
Very good. Okay, that helps us understand in a broad way some of the things that are going on here. It's very interesting. We used in the title of the lesson the word Scripture. And I'm wondering what that actually means. Dr. Dibdahl, do you want to share a little bit on that? What does Scripture mean? And
In a very general sense, Scripture refers to document, something which is written, which is seen as sacred or divinely inspired in some way. So depending on who is using the word, it will be referring to different written materials. So a Christian talking about Scripture would be referring to the Bible. but a Muslim would refer to the Quran as scripture, of course. Okay. So it's just referring to a collected group of writings that are seen as sacred, somehow inspired by God.
Okay, now we have a text that was in the lesson today, John 5:39. It says, Jesus says, you know, you search the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Okay, gentlemen, what does that word scriptures in that verse when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, what does scripture mean in that context?
Well, one of the ways that we can look at it is what were the sacred writings that the people of Jesus' time accepted? They would correspond roughly with what we would refer to as the Old Testament.
Ah, okay.
Today.
I was wanting to make sure because I think some people, when they hear that word scripture, they think of the whole Bible, and when it's used by Jesus in his time, it's referring to
what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, right?
Yeah. And I think that makes a difference. Then we kind of come then to the question that I raised at the very beginning. What do a lot of people, even who are Christians, think about the Old Testament?
Well, I think there's a struggle. I think there's a struggle with both the Old and New Testaments. Research would suggest that many of us who consider ourselves Christians struggle with making any part of the Bible a daily and meaningful part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're more naturally drawn to those parts of the Bible that are most culturally familiar to us. And for those of us in the United States, that is typically the New mm-hmm. Testament. That world somehow connects more naturally with us. And so even among those who might say, they accept the whole Bible as authoritative, the Old and New Testaments as scripture, I still think it's the case that the Old Testament tends to be just difficult for us to deal with because of some of the cultural elements that we find there. It's just difficult to see sometimes how what is written there applies to our daily life, mm-hmm. even though we might acknowledge that it ought to somehow.
Sure, sure. So you're talking about people who acknowledge the Old Testament, but I've heard people say, well, it's Old Testament law, New Testament grace. What would you say to a person like that? Is that right?
I don't think it's a question of either or. I think God's grace is evident in both the Old and the New Testament. I don't think it's a question of, it's one way in the Old Testament and then a different way in the New Testament. I think it's a difficult subject maybe to settle in the amount of time that we have, but there are all kinds of evidences of God's grace throughout the Old Testament.
That's right.
Jesus said that the scriptures testified of him, and he was able to show after his resurrection, even able to show his disciples the way in which what was written prophesied or told of him to come. So clearly the Old Testament has grace if it's pointing toward Jesus.
That's right.
And I think that's the key point there, that Jesus referenced scripture to demonstrate who he was, who he was. His
and by scripture, you mean the Old Testament,
and
right?
And I'm referring to the Old Testament here.
Yeah.
But he could have come in and said, hey, look at me. Look at all these miracles I'm doing. Because of this, you should recognize I'm the Messiah. He could have depended upon his oratory, and his skills were doubtless the best that have ever graced the earth. But instead, he goes to, in one instance in the book of Luke in chapter 4, when he's going into the synagogue, he reads the prophecies of Isaiah, and he says, today, these are fulfilled in your ears. In the verse that you just shared with us in John, mm-hmm. he's with the Pharisees, and he says, these testify of me. He didn't depend on external evidence. He went to the scriptures to show who he was, for his
That's
identity.
Right. His audience accepted that as authoritative, and he accepted it as authoritative, and so he could use it to prove his point, who he was. He was the center of the Old Testament scripture, and if he's the center, we certainly shouldn't treat it as a lesser kind of thing that we study without a lot of meaning.
And I think one of the ways that we apply that today is, as we seek to make disciples, oftentimes Christians depend upon their methodology, they depend upon their entertainment value, they depend upon a lot of human things instead of Scripture itself. Mm-hmm. And as we make disciples in the 21st century, we need to have our approaches based and rooted deeply in Scripture.
That's certainly true. Jesus used Scripture as authoritative to testify to himself. He also used it, as we study and look at the Scripture, he also used it to meet temptation. When he faced temptation, he looked to Scripture and used Scripture to do that kind of thing. We don't have a lot of time left, but there's one question I've been dying to ask, and that was on the personal application part. Satan uses Scripture too. In the temptations of Jesus, Jesus uses Scripture against mm-hmm. Satan, and Satan also uses the Scripture. So we need to remember that we need to have a correct understanding. What would you do? How would you decide in that kind of case? Do you have any idea about how to tell whether we're using it in the right way or is the wrong way or what?
That is a big topic.
Okay. Well, we won't broach it then. We'll let people think about that and remember that, in fact, Scripture can be misused by people sure. and twisted in ways that it is not as effective as it might be.
Well, Scripture can be destructive if it's used contrary to the overarching principle of love, which we have presented to us in Scripture. If we ignore that message, I think we can use Scripture in a way that it will be destructive to other people.
That's certainly true.
But rightfully used, God is love. And Scripture reveals God, or Scripture
That's
reveals
right.
love.
That's right. And if we twist it in another way, then we need to get back to that principle and see it so that we can clearly do what is meant to be done. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Pastor Solis, Dr. Dibdahl, your willingness to share with us. Thanks also to Chad Oftahar, our program engineer. And finally, I want to thank you, our listening audience, for joining us. I hope that you'll join us again next week. I should let you know that contact information as well as free printed companion materials are available online. Simply go to Walla Walla University website and follow the links to the School of Theology and the Good Word. We wish God's blessing on you, and we want to urge you to continue studying the Scripture, continue making it authoritative in your life, continue to let it speak to you in ways that nothing else can. May God bless you. And for a Good Word, I'm John Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.